And we don't have, you know, see, we have a Mesorah in the Derech of Tarsh Baal Peh, but this we don't have, and Agadah really, we don't have any of the Mesorah. And, you know, it comes to Halacha, so we have a Mesorah in the Derech and the approach and the methodology from the Rishonim, you know, and the through the Acharonim, and it's Ishmi Pish. We have a Derech and approach. And Agadah, we don't have it. So Agadah is very hot. So you have to be very careful. And you have to hope and be mispol that yeah, I'll meet the shoulder. It's not a, it's a very, it's an area, it's a dangerous area. So if you make a mistake over here, make a mistake in Deus, that's the worst kind of mistake. So we have to proceed cautiously. All right? Very cautiously. Okay, let's go. We'll start with the Fizayin Amar Beis. That means what we said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Rav Huna Rami. Go ahead. Did you look at the Gemara a little before?
Yeah.
Yeah, you Zayin Amar off a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Which part?
When
Mata Klapei
Chesed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know. That's another area. I mean, Mavir Rishon Rishon. That's, I mean, really, there's, I think there's, if we should try to do, if we can, put our sights on three areas. The, this area over here, Yigam Midos, Mavir Rishon Rishon, and then also the Sinyan Rosh Hashanah on, Nechtam La'ato L'chaim. Okay. I mean, even Ramban at our time, Rishonim at our time of these commands. I'm biased. So what do you mean? He's a tzaddik. He's nechtav lavta l'chayim. So he'll never die. I mean, he's a hard, very hard gemara. And I mean, so Ramban is all, I mean, you see, Rishonim have to make a, you know what I mean, a framework already, you know, like a framework for the gemara. It's, it shows you it's a very hard, hard gemara. It's very, very, abstruse, removed. You know, difficult. Okay, means the Chazal were expecting you to know certain premises before you came to the Gemara. And like I said, we don't have a Masorah, so we're at a very big disadvantage, and we can't be sure that you know that we that we're assuming the right premises. It's a very very dangerous area. But let's try to see what we could understand here. Okay, Yitzhak and Bez, Rav Huna Rami, go ahead, somebody. Okay, so what's more, so it was, so it's a question. Right. So it's a contradiction. Which way is he? Is it tzaddik? Mishpat emes? Can't be both. Or chos b'chol ma'asov. Right? So the Gemara answers.
Why can't he be both? Why can't he be both?
Because either it's an emes, either justice. Justice is not subject to variation of degree. Justice is very precise. Either it's just or it's not just. So justice demands, that's emes. So it demands a certain din. There's no altering. You alter the din, it's not justice anymore. So, and then it says chassid b'chol masa. So chassid means that it's, something other. It certainly means something other than din emes. Means implies, to the better side. Not to the letter of the law. So he can't be both. So it's a tata de sasri. That's the Gemara's kasha.
So Kasha's, when you say justice, it means that there's a no. I mean, there's a very thin line, and that.
Betchila tzaddik v'lasov chasid. What does that mean? Okay. All right, go for it. More of the same thing again. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. That's a little harder over there. That pasuk's a little harder than the first one. Because the pasuk is, ki ata tashalem leish kimaaseh. It's an explanation. That's very, very difficult. What do you mean? L'chashem chesed kiyata tashal mishka maseo? That's why it's chesed. No, if he's mishal mishka maseo, it's not chesed. I mean, the other pasuk is just saying two things. Two separate statements. Okay, they're mutually exclusive. But the Gemara resolves. But over here it's saying because it makes it impossible. Okay, so then, but what is the Gemara's answer is not intelligible. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, I mean, what does the Gemara answer?
So,
okay.
I have a question.
Let's take next one.
There's
a Tosa
takes up.
Okay. But yeah, my question was the key out. Okay. Good. Next. The MS, right. So the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Chesed Vemes. Big problem. What does it mean, Rav Chesed Vemes? It doesn't mean that there's a lot of Chesed and a lot of Vemes. I mean, that's not an explanation. And for Basar Dom, you could say something like that. Say, yeah, he's a person of a great Chesed and great Vemes. You know, he manifests great chesed at certain times, and then at other times he manifests a great insight and great emes. But by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can't say such a thing. It means that emes means is cool emes, and chesed is if it's cool emes, then there's no room for chesed. So that's the Gemara's question. So what am I saying? Same thing. It's funny, but the reorder is reversed. Right? Funny kind of thing. Should say the MS, the Rav Chesed. Because Betchila is MS. Right? So what could you say about it? What could you say about it?
Right.
I mean, that's the question. What's Betchila? What's Besof? Why do you say Betchila Besof? What's with you about yourself? She just say simply, let's get down to the bottom line. The bottom line is chesed. So what do you need the betchila for? What do you need the betchila for? So what the Gemara means is like this. This much we can say. Gemara means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done in his way. And not like a bus of a dumb. See, if a bus of a dumb is done, so you say you have a kind judge. So what does it mean it's a kind judge? It means that in his judgment there's an element of there's an element of kindness. He has compassion for the defendant. A certain element of compassion involved in his din. So you say that he's a kind judge. Yes. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't say such a thing. Because in the judge, it's one judgment. And the judgment is brought about through his thinking, through his concern for justice, and through his compassion. So when a human judge gives a judgment, it's not really, if his judgment has compassion, then it's not emes. It's not emes. So it can't be emes. But what it means over here is, Betchilo v'sof means both are before him. That's what it means. It means both are before him. There's a judgment of emes, and there's a judgment of chesed. That his kindness is not like a human kindness. Because in human kindness, the kindness obliterates the measure of justice. You see, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his kindness does not obliterate emes. That's what it means. Rav Chesed the emes. The emes is always there. The judgment of emes is always there. Chesed is there too. That's what Rashi means. It's kisharoa she'ein ha'ola miskayim b'din. Means to say that that's a separate thing. And so far as nihug, as his nihug in the olam is concerned, it's a nihug of chesed. Many times a nigav chesed. But even when the niyug is niyug of chesed, the mishpar is a mishpar of emes. That's what it means. So that's a chazal. The emes is never lost. The emes is never lost before. But the niyug manifests the chesed. So that's what chazal is. That's what betchila means. Betchila itself, of course, doesn't mean a time frame. It means to say that the reason why I call it betchila is because betchila means essential, primary. It means in primarily in the primary judgment, it's emes. But then there are other considerations. And the nihug eventuates in a nihug of chesed. But the judgment of emes is never lost. See, that's what it means. Judgment of emes is never lost. It's, and that's what a Ramban, if I'm not, if my memory's serving me right, I think the Ramban distinguishes between the judgment in so far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned. And I believe one time gave a shit on that. And the Rambam in Perek Gimel Nilchas Shuva. That there's a difference between the Mishpat HaOdom the Bemoso and for Olam Abba, different thing. But the Mishpat in this world, the Mishpat in Rosh Hashanah, is a different kind of a Mishpat, different considerations. And it has to do with what Rashi mentions. That's an essential idea, whether the Olam can be Miskayim or cannot be Miskayim. Kiyum Olam plays a role, but the Mishpat isn't lost. That's what it means. That's for Rav Chesed the Emes. Even though it's Rav Chesed, the Emes is there simultaneously. Okay. Now, what about the Pasuk? You see, now the Pasuk fits in very well. It says, L'cho Hashem Chesed. What is that? What is the Pasuk? L'cho Hashem Chesed. Ki ata teshalem mishkemaseh. Because that's why it's Chesed. Why is it chesed? Because really the emes is never lost. Because ata teshalem mishkemaseil. That's the midas emes. So that's why it's real chesed. That's genuine chesed. See, that's God's chesed. It's a different kind of a chesed. By a bus of a dumb, his chesed obscures his sight of the emes. So that's not really chesed. Because the chesed is compromised. The emes is compromised by the chesed. So it's an avuvia. It's an avuvia. But God's chesed is real chesed. Why? Because the emes is never ne'elam mimena. Kiyata teshalem mishkemaseil. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu meets out judgment with precision. So therefore, whenever there is chesed, it's a genuine entity of chesed. In contradistinction to a bas adam, he doesn't have real chesed because his chesed means a compromise of the emes. The emes becomes obscured. That's not real chesed. So it's a combination. In other words, to have a true midah of chesed, it must be in the presence of real emes. Otherwise, it's not another entity. See, it's just two forces that are canceling each other out. So that's not real chesed. In order to be real chesed, the emes cannot be canceled. That's why this is pure chesed. You understand that? That's what the pasuk. Okay. That l'cho Hashem chesed. Why? Ki ata teshalem mishkemaseil. Because you do emes to the nth degree. Maseil, the nth degree. So therefore, the chesed is a true entity of chesed. Okay? That's it. So, never compromise. That's what it says. That's why the Rav Chesed, the Emes. By the way, that's the answer to our question. Why doesn't it say Emes first and then the Rav Chesed? No, the answer is because it's not an order, the betchila, you say. It's not an order. It means that the Rav Chesed the Emes. It means that the Chesed is contingent on the Emes. like we said, that that's why it's Rav Chesed, because the emes is always there before. That's the definition. Rav Chesed emes. It means Rav Chesed the emes. Exactly. The emes is primary, and that's why the Rav Chesed is a real meter. Okay? Well, what's your question? It's emes. Let me just say, when you say emes in relation to God, you have to understand that there's different meanings. Different meanings. Because Hashem Elokim emes. So that doesn't mean the same thing. That's a different thing. That means that he's the only thing that's real. Well, again, no. When he acts.
Still before him?
Yes, that's correct. The emes is there before him, and sometimes, many, many, many times, his niyug of chesed is the niyug, is the determined niyug. But the emes is still there. The emes of the person is still there.
I don't understand. Can I ask you a question?
They were mispowel from midas harachem, but there was a loss. There was a loss because in midas harachem it means you see there can't be two midas or emes is that the person deserves such and such. So if he deserves such and such, so how could he get something else? But the answer is there is a loss. There is a loss. You see because he it's not the same thing as if he's omeid bedin emes. It's not the same. There are changes, and therefore, it's like by Adam Arishon, where there's a loss. He never was what he was before. That was gone. Yeah, that was gone. The part of his nature, the way he could have existed on his first creation, the way he could have existed was lost forever. That was, Midas Arachmim was that he wasn't destroyed, you see. And the Olam could not be, the Olam can be miskaying. So there were certain adjustments that were made, Midas Arachmim, to allow him to continue, but it was a loss. It's a loss. It's a loss. In terms of his being, in terms of his existence, in terms of his happiness, in terms of his everything. His whole existence as a human being. It's lost. Can't overcome it. Can't do it. No, but I'm not saying tshuva. I'm not talking about tshuva. Don't mix everything. We gotta stick to what we have here. Now we're talking about the din. So the Rav Chesed it doesn't obliterate the emes. And the emes is still there. And even in the chesed, it manifests itself because there's a loss. There's a loss.
Loss is the din-emes.
That loss is because of the din emes. That's correct. Because it can't be changed. So that's what I mean. I said the din emes is always there. The din emes is always there. But the Rav Chesed is, in terms of Rosh Ein Olam Miskayim, that's what Rashi is saying. Rosh Ein Olam Miskayim. That's the same thing. So it means that certain adjustments had to be made. You see. But the adjustment, there's an expense for the adjustment because the din emes is always there. Not the same thing. It is not the same thing if a person is Zocha B'din, Midin emes, or he's a Zocha B'din because Rav Chesed. Different type of thing. And it's something which is almost self-understood. It has to be that way. Different forces, different dynamics. The human judge, his conclusion is, he doesn't have two conclusions. He really has one conclusion, and the conclusion is determined by different forces in his psyche. There's a compassionate force, there's a force that's looking for the truth, and the combination is if he has more of a compassion, he'll come up with this kind of thing. But the judgment is one judgment, and it's a judgment that results from various forces in his soul and in his essence. So that's the human judge. So one is at the expense of the other. I mean, it's not possible to have both. You understand? It's not possible to have both. Because if he says it's really just that I should really kill you, but I'm going to be compassionate. And he's saying, and then somebody says, well, are you just? He says, no, I'm not a just man. I mean, he's not going to say, I'm not a just judge. So his justice is an idea, some idea of a confusion, a mix between justice and compassion. And that's the human judge. And that's what he's saying. He's not going to say, Your Honor, you didn't pass a fair verdict. You're an unjust individual. So he wouldn't think of himself as being unjust. So he thinks that this is justice. Just what is justice? Justice is compassion and the idea of justice. When you mix the two together, you get to come up with a formula. But that's that formula is at the expense of one is at the expense of the other. Can't have both. Can't have both. That's the image. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is there are two different judgments. Two different judgments. The emes is always there. V'rav chesed, the emes. Both are there simultaneously. That's what it means. Yeah. Like I said, on the other hand, the person that receives the verdict, receives the defendant in the human case, when the judge is compassionate, he feels I got away with something. I should have gotten 5 years, I got 2 years. He got away with something. He's very happy. He got away. What does he mean he got away? He means that the judgment is not just. That's what he means, but he's very happy. So that doesn't happen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no getting away because the emes is always there. But Rav Chesed means there is a Nihil of Chesed. Ba'olama. That's he's no Chesed Ba'olama. That's what the Gemara means. A different kind of a concept. Okay. Each one, why you need three of them, I mean, is it's not just a repetition. It's a different, the first one is simply talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sadek Hashem b'chol d'rocha v'chosu b'chol ma'asim. Shlach Hashem mako. That's Tillim, because Tillim is basically Shevach. The second one is also Tillim, but the second one is explaining l'cho Hashem chesed, why? Because you're a judge of emes. That's explaining the idea. It's a different thing. It's not the same thing as saying an Asher. And the third one is a clarification or a direction to understand the Gimel Midos. That's why Chazal bring it down, because it's important to understand the Gimel Midos. And that's why Rav Chesed Vemes, that's exactly what Chazal is saying, is that's exactly Rav Chesed Vemes. So it brings it back to the Yigim Omidus, which is, of course, the source. Okay. Oh, it does. That's the saying. Vayav Hashem Ponov. That doesn't mean Vayav Hashem Ponov means the Satev Kishleach Sibor. That's not the plain meaning. The plain meaning is Ponov Shamosha. But Chazal said there's another reference. There's another interpretation. Because the Torah is Nidrish to come upon him. So one of the interpretations, apparently from the semantics of the pasuk, I don't know how Chazal darshan it, but it came to teach this idea as well. Okay, that's what Gemara says. Umole mikra kosev yeshan. But what is it saying? What do we need this for? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what a shlich tzibur looks like. I mean, what is the meaning? The Gemara is saying it's heresy. I mean, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a ain lo guf, lo yasigu ma'ase guf. So how could a person understand it? It doesn't make any sense. Rabbeinu Chananel, think of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says this. Pirish, he says, tzivo l'malach l'sateif, kishat sayered l'fnei ateva, v'hero l'moshe. Okay. Yeah. As anything, yeah. So Ben Chanal says. So it means, of course. I mean, it means that that Akash Baruch Hu created some kind of a configuration for Moshe Rabbeinu to see. That's what it means. So what's the to say malach, whatever. I mean, malach means anything that's in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means it was a creation, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the gemus of the menorah. Same kind of a thing. So why is it Omole Mikra Kosev Yashal Omo? So we know. Says Kesav Nisa Asher Tamora Bahar. Says Malamech and Eskasha Moshe Rabbeinu the Tavnas Amenorah Acher Or Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the same idea, right? The same thing. So what is it? What Ben Chanal says is obvious. It's obvious. It would be clearer to say that Shemistat of Kadosh Baruch Hu Geshudat Sibur is clearer. So now we understand. It doesn't mean literally. So what's the What's the import of the whole statement? And Rambam says, you're not allowed to say such a thing. Mole mikrokos of the Yeshalom, you're not allowed to even say such a thing, not even to enunciate such a thing, you wouldn't be allowed to do. If the Torah wouldn't say it, you couldn't even say it derech mashal. You're not, when he wants to say not allowed to say it, it means you can't say it at all. Yeshalom means even if a person will say that I'm telling you something derech mashal, you wouldn't be allowed to say those words. Not allowed to say it. Yeah. I mean, that's the question. Why is this different than anything else we learned? We learned the Sinai of Chastfila, of the Stam Torah, or all color terrible. So why is this different? It's part of the Chastfila. You see, the thing is like this. There's two things. What it means is, you see, when why does the Torah do this? L'saber esa ozen, Rashi says. Always said, always l'saber esa ozen. Okay, and why did the Torah write this? Saber esa ozen. What does that mean? It's not just an expression. It means to say that the Torah wanted this to be imprinted on the human mind, that the human mind should know it. The Sabra says means to make sure you get this idea. So the idea is very important. You see, that's the Sabra says. And that's one thing. But there's something else also. Over here, it was for Moshe Rabbeinu, you see. So why is it put in such a form for Moshe Rabbeinu? Why? Because it means that it's something that he would not be able to comprehend on his own. It's something that he, with his own intelligence, he would not be able to understand this. He would never come, even if he learned all of Hilchos Tefillah, he would never come to this. Even if he learned Hilchos Tshuva, all halachos, he would not be able to come to such a conclusion. It's too astounding. It's too astounding. That's what it means. That's what Chazal said. That's what it means. I mean that Melamed Mole Mikra Kosev Yeshel Omro means that it's something which is astounding. It's astounding. It's an idea that we can't comprehend. No, even Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to place it in any intellectual framework, even though he has the intellectual framework of Kol HaTorah Kulo.
Are you saying Mali goes on the explanation?
No. So that's why it was presented to him in that strong manner. See, and that in the Mariana Fua. It had, you see, this gives it prominence in the Mari Hanavua. See, in other words, the way it's done over here, that it was actually shown to him in a figure, you see, that, and the way the Pasuk is describing it, the way the Pasuk describes it in a manner that's forbidden, so to speak, to show you that this is something which is l'sabra sa'ozen, that you must know it. It's extremely important, you see. And it is something which was prominent, had tremendous prominence in the Mari Nevuah. The more prominence in the Mari Nevuah, the further away it is from the human capacity to understand. That's the way the Mari Nevuah works. Because the Mari Nevuah essentially is something that a person can comprehend, but cannot originate. It's knowledge that man cannot originate on his own, but he can comprehend it. Okay? But the more prominence something has in Amari and Avua, the further away it is from his comprehension. You see? So this, there's two things in Melamech and Asa, El Mole Mikra Kosuv Yeshalom. Malamish and Sadav Gosh Bar, because the Mashmas Apostle, you would not be permitted to say. So why did the Torah do that? Two things. To make sure that it strikes you, and that you record it, and you know it well. And secondly, it's telling you that at the same time it's telling you that in the Mari HaNevuah, it had tremendous prominence when Moshe received it. See, it was an idea that was presented in a striking fashion, which means that it was further removed from his intellectual capacity. It doesn't mean he didn't understand it afterwards, but it's telling you what the nature of the subject is. That it's not something that's easily comprehensible, even by the greatest human mind. That's basically what the pasuk says. Two things. So Vayava Shampan Vayikra, Umalay Mikra Kasavi Ef Shalomah. So why did the Torah choose to write it in such a striking fashion? Rasabras Ozan, that you should remember it and you should know it. And the implication is an implication of how the Nevuah took place. So it's telling you also that in this Maran HaNevuah, it wasn't simply given over Derech Sha'or Nevuahs. It was something unusual. So it wasn't given over in the ordinary way that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Nevuah. You see, that was a pel peh. But this was something unusual. Something unusual means it was further removed. That's what Chazal is saying. Okay. Yeah. Panam panam is a figurative expression. Panam panam. It means to say, in the least amount of mediums necessary for Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu did not require the intermediary Malachim, what the Ram says, that's one of the Ram says, without Malachim, there's no Nevuah. So the Malach functions in conveying the Nevuah. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not need the same intermediary as other Nevi'im did. That's what it means, Panam Panam. But the, I'm not going to say more than that. I'm saying it in negative. But that's the quality of the Nevuah. The quality of Nevuah doesn't make any difference. The content, whether it's a configuration or whether it's a word, does not make any difference. Same quality. Same exact quality. That's not what it means, Pelpeh. Pelpeh is not a reference to the content of the communication. It's a reference to the quality of the Nevuah. You understand what I mean? That's two different things. You understand what I mean? Okay. I was saying in this Maima, okay? That much we could say. Okay. What's the second part of the memo? Amalo. That's the first part. Malamech and Esatev, the Herald of the Moshe said it's filled. Okay. Yeah. The Gemara is letting you hear also that the idea that you're not allowed to say, like I said before, that's what the Ram says. The Ram says it in the Mora. That you can't, certain things cannot be stated outside of the framework of the Torah, of the Navi. You're not allowed to say them. You're only allowed to say them in that context, in that framework. Yeah, that's what the Gemara is saying. Yef Shalom. You could say it in interpreting the Pusik, but you could never use that expression ordinarily. Okay. Only here. Okay. Now, that's the first half. Now, what's the second half? Calls Manchi Yisroel Chot in Yasu Lefone Kaseder Hazev Ani Mochala. Okay. So what does that mean? Yeah, what does Yasu Lefone Kaseder Hazev? So it means that they should enunciate the Yedimu Midos. Enunciate the Yedimu Midos. It's an interesting thing. So it doesn't say, it's interesting because that, why does Chazal say Seder Tefillah? Seder Tefillah. Seder Tefillah. I mean, Chazal should say that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the more you understand of the Yigimel Midos, then the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mochel. But you see, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. See, it's saying, that's what it means, Seder Tefillah. It means Yigimel Midos b'toras Tefillah. Not Yigimel Midos b'toras Limud. It's interesting. That's what's interesting about this Chazal. See, it's Yud Gimel Midos Petoras Limud is one thing. And that's something which a person can understand easier. But over here, this is Yud Gimel Midos Petoras Tefillah. Petoras Tefillah is different. It means he's enunciating the Midos with the best knowledge that he has as a component of his tefillah and bakasha. You see, as interspersed with his tefillah. You see, it has a din tefillah. Because ordinarily, I'd say that the Yigimel Midos don't have a din tefillah. They have a din limud. Okay, it's everything limud. But you see that the yud gimel midos can become involved in the institution of tefillah. That is really the chiddush. That's a tremendous chiddush. That something which ordinarily you'd look at as limud, that it could be switched into a completely different medium, because tefillah is completely different. And what is it? How does it fit into tefillah? I mean, how does it fit into tefillah? It's an interesting thing. How is it possible? But that's what Chazal is saying. Malamei Cheherlo, Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, say to tefillah. The Omar Kishabonai Chotin. What's the lesson? Kolz Man Sheso Chotin Yasu Lefonik Aseder Asa. Yes. Shem Yaskiru Yisrael b'tfilas tanisan. So it means that it becomes a component of the tefillah. It's roy to be masked in the tefillah because it takes on the character of tefillah. It's an interesting thing. It's a component of tefillah. That's a big problem. I mean, that's something we have to know. How does something which is essentially an entity of limud become involved in tefillah? It seems something is impossible because they're two different vehicles, two different entities. One thing has nothing to do with the other. I mean, limud has nothing to do with tefillah, and tefillah has nothing to do with limud. It's a separate institution. If a person is being mispal and is thinking of ideas, it's not tefillah. That's not tefillah. And conversely, a person that's learning and is learning with some kind of a religious emotion. I mean, that's not limud. Limud is pure thought, absolute reflection, and the mind is completely involved. Nothing else is involved. That's limud. But the Gemara said, "Yosef v'Reshlagash Alma Oli b'Vein Midrasha," lying on the bench. This is completely involved in thought. Two different things. One thing has nothing to do with the other. Okay. Two separate functions completely. So the question is: here you have that an entity of limud somehow can become involved in an institution of tefillah. That's the amazing thing that in the memra. I mean, that's what strikes you as something that's outstanding, paradoxical. Yeah. Okay. Midos is an institution of limud. It's so much an institution of limud. It's the greatest limud. It's the greatest limud. I mean, it's the limud of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the greatest limud. So the institution is a pure institution of limud. What does that have to do with tefillah? Okay. That's really the problem. Individual midos. And why should this be such a significant entity? And so we have to try as much as we can. To gain some insight into the idea of the Yigam Amidus. Yeah.
Like I said,
without any guidance over here, I don't think we could do anything. But fortunately, we do have guidance over here. You have the Rambam. The last Rambam in the Mona Vuchim. You got the Mona Vuchim? Yeah. Last Rambam. This is the area. I mean, this is, can't, you know, this is an area for the Mona Vuchim. Yeah.
Well, you see the Gemara says on the contrary.
If a person is Meser Osno Divrei Torah Gam Tefilosa Toeva. So you see, it's two different things. It's clear. Yeah. And it's pasuk. Okay. But if we wanted to approach the Yud Gimel Midos, you see, I mean, just basically, wanted to say something very basic about them. What would you say it is? I mean, what would you say it is? You're dealing with us. And what is the value in the you're dealing with us? So the value of the Yigimu Midos really stresses one thing, it stresses the idea that of Yedias Hashem, and that the Rambam said the Yedias Hashem places a person on the highest level. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Kim bezosis ha'olam asal haskel v'yadoosi. So that is the highest thing for man. But the Rambam says that the pasuk is very interesting because the pasuk doesn't stop after haskel v'yadoosi, but the pasuk continues in a way that you wouldn't think it should. That says ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat utzdaka baretz. So it means to say that man's Yedias Hashem can't stop after he engages in so far as he can with the Yedias Hashem in terms of the Borei Olam. It can't stop at that point. But and if he's satisfied at that point, and then he just relies on the accepted nevuah, or the accepted for the rest, he just takes the facts. You see, then he's making a big mistake. Because you would think like this: okay, I have this Shem and Baruch Shemayim V'aretz and Lakei Shemayim Lakei Aretz. So the more knowledge I have of Chachmas Hashem, Ameyalars Marav Masach Hashem Kum Chachmas Siso, we understand that. But a person would say, okay, so once I have that, fine. Now I have Yedias Hashem as the Borei Olam, insofar as I can. And now with regard to how he judges, I rely on the Psukim. Psukim is Dayan Emes, is Shofet Emes, Melech Oev Stakon Mishpat, everything the Psukim say, I'll simply defer to the Psukim, I accept every word. So I don't have to understand it. You see, it's not something for me to go into. See? That's what the Rambam points out. That the Pasuk is telling you that that's wrong. Amazing thing. Pasuk is telling you it's counterintuitive. It's most of the thing you would think when it comes to that area. That's not my area. But no, the Navi says, Ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat utzdaka baretz. Ki be'elo chafatzti. It means to say that you have to understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed mishpat and staka. You have to understand how he does it. And if you don't search into how he does it, then you're not fulfilling what the Navi says, Kim Bezos is Hal and Sal. That's an interesting thing. So that's what the Rambam points out, that's really a tremendous chiddush in the Divrei HaNavi. You cannot just rely on the authority of the Psukim, even though you accept it 100%. But if you simply say, when it comes to this area, I'm not interested, I accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dying, that's it. I accept it 100%, whatever he does. Nope, that's no good. You are mechuyev to try, insofar as possible, to gain insight into how he is noheg his mishpat. That's right. That's why most people would think that's not my area. That's not my business. That I have to just know Yedias Hashem. Of course, the more I study, from the more I understand of the universe, the more I see Chachmas Hashem, the greater is my knowledge, the greater is my Yedi, and the higher is my level, and the closer I am to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's correct. But you see, the Navi insisted that's not really the person that's searching for Yedias Hashem. The real one that's searching for Yedias Hashem is interested in his mishpat. That's what the Ram points at. That's what the Ram says. That's a tremendous chiddush. But that's what the Ram says. What? Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But that's a benefit of it. That's a benefit of it. That's all a part of his search, and that's a benefit of it, but the idea itself is correct. That's right. You see? So that certainly is a benefit. There's no question about it. That's Ma'wafata. You're right. That's what the Ram says. The prophet does not content himself with explaining that the knowledge of God is the highest kind of perfection. For if this had been his intention, he would have said, but in this let him who glory, that he understands and knows me. I would have stopped there, see? But he says, or he would have said that he understands and knows that I am one, or that I have no likeness, or that there is none like me, or some of the phrases. He says, however, that man can only glory in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his ways and attributes, which are his actions, as we have shown and expounded on. Okay. That's what Rambam says. Yeah. Now the Rambam goes on. He says like this. An interesting thing. I want you to show you something. Interesting thing. The Rambam says like this. So that is the individual who is really perfected is searching in that area as well. That's what the Navi says. Now he says like this. He says, Nadaram says like this. He says, another very important lesson is taught by the additional phrase, in the earth. Osa chesed mishpat istaka ba'aretz. You see? It implies a fundamental principle of the law. It rejects the theory of those who boldly assert that God's providence does not extend below the sphere of the moon. Okay, he's describing it in the ancient astronomy. But he says that the okay, fine. And that the earth with its contents is abandoned because the Lord hath Ozav Hashem es Aretz, like Cheskel says, that philosophy. It teaches, as has been taught by the greatest of all wise men in the words, the earth is the Lord's. Where is that? Where's the that's in what? Laman, no, Laman, no, the greatest teacher of Moshe Rabbeinu. Laman teidak yilad Hashem ha'aretz. You see? That is, providence extends to the earth in accordance with its nature, in the same manner as it controls the heavens in accordance with their nature. What is Rambam saying? I mean, he's just saying, what is Rambam saying? Is he just saying, of course, that's up for courses, that there's no hashgach. See, the Rambam's not saying. The Rambam's telling you it's such a tremendous chiddush in the pasuk. You see, that's a tremendous chiddush. That man's searching and his knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be not just in the sphere of Hashemayim Asarpim Kvod Kael, but also in the sphere of Mishpat. That's a tremendous chiddush. Now what is Rambam saying? That he's telling you another thing, that we don't believe that there's no Hashgacha. I mean, it's like going backtracking to something that's very basic. That's a big Kiddush. I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
You just think you said there is
Mishpat. Yeah, he's saying that there's Mishpat, right. That's right. So the Rambam says, and now the word Ba'aretz is telling you a new Kiddush. Now what, it's not, of course, Ozav Hashem es Aretz, then you're right. I mean, Yosef is right. I'm saying, you always said it. What is Ba'aretz? You see? So what is the Rambam saying? What is the Rambam saying? He's right. You don't need the word Ba'aretz. They say, that's it. The Rambam saying, no, the word Ba'aretz is telling you an idea. Yeah, what's the idea?
It's a uniform system throughout the
the earth. Yeah, it extends to the earth. Yeah, what does he mean it extends to the earth? He says, just like it extends to the universe, right? He says, his providence extends to the earth in accordance with its nature in the same manner as it controls the heavens in accordance with their nature. What does it mean? And I said, there's a soda here around this thing. This is a big soda. The soda is like this.
No.
You have to understand what he means in reference to the universe first, because he says it's in the same manner as it is with regard to the universe. So you have to understand what he means in reference to the universe. What he means in reference to the universe is that the universe was not simply thrown into existence from at Sheshis and Mebrachis and just it goes on its own. That's not what the Yadus holds. You see? The physicist thinks that way. That this is the way. I mean, now they agree there was a creation, so they say there was a creation, and then that's it. From an undifferentiated mass of energy, everything unraveled with galaxies, stars, galaxies, planets, the Earth, human mind, everything. Okay. But they say, they look at it as an event, that event resulted in the universe. You see, that's what they maintain. Raman says that we don't maintain the way. We don't maintain the way. We maintain that the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there in the universe every moment, and without that influence, it would cease to exist. That's what Raman means.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it means. It's a different concept. It's not a creation like a person would create a house, and then he walks away, and the house is fine. He doesn't have to service the house anymore. He's finished. And if he made it really good, it'll last a long time. That is not the correct mushel for the Bria Shemayim V'aretz. Bria Shemayim V'aretz, yes, there was a creation, and that's true, but there is a constant influence that causes the universe to exist in the form and shape and the manner that it exists. And the Rambam says, and that's the same thing with regard to Hashgacha. It's a different idea of Hashgacha. It's not simply that God does acts of justice. See, that would be if the Navi said, Kini Hashem Osech Chesed O Mishpat Tzedakah, an act of justice. But he says, Ba'aretz tells you that there's an influence of divine providence that is constant and extends to the sphere of the earth, to the sphere, to the human realm. It's a different idea. It's a different concept. Different. That's right. That's what it says. Ba'aretz. That's what Rambam said. You understand it? It's a different concept. That's what Rambam said. That's exactly what I said. It's a different idea. Metaphysically, it's a different idea. It's telling you that the mushel of just an act of mishpat is not the correct way to understand it. It's a constant influence. Just like there's a constant influence that is necessary for the universe to exist every moment, and there's a constant influence insofar as human life is concerned, for human life to continue. Constant influence of mishpat, chesed, and tzedakah on this earth. Otherwise, it would cease to exist. The whole human society would cease to exist. That's the concept. Okay?
Is that because it says Ba'aretz, which references to the Shemayim?
It's a different kind. In other words, the concept, what he's saying is that we are closer. We are closer to understanding the Ashgacha when we understand it this way, through this metaphor, than through the metaphor of an action. That's what he's saying. Okay, this is a closer approach. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Navi is teaching. Okay, all right.
Yeah. So the what I mentioned yesterday, I made reference to the Gemara Sanhedrin. I said that when a person is successful with Rachmi, there's a loss. It's not the ideal. The ideal is gone. I say Gemara Sanhedrin. Gemara says that. So the Gemara says, "My Amar, what do they say? Amar Vidu Tamer Vinasan Baya Baya." They cry about the Yetzirah. Kind of the Vesa Vakalya Lahechla Vakaflim Sadiki Vagnuli Yisro Me'arayon Me'arayu Vadayin Humurake Beinon. That's the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, the famous Gemara. So the Gemara says, Klum yahavis yahav seilon elul kibule beigra. Why did you give us this Yetzirah in order that we should get schar to overcome it? Overcome it. So lo iu bainim velo agre. We don't want it, and we don't want it schar. So the Yosef Klasiyam Tanisa boy rachmi. So Rash says, "Boy, Rachme, I am a vachshim Rachmim, she must be other Yetzar Shalabaskapam." That's the famous Gemara. But you see, they lost, because if they would have been successful, so they would have really gained a lot of schar. Because then, in order to overcome the Yetzirah,
Avos Kachovim, they would have gained a lot of insight and knowledge about the nature of man, and then their connection and to the MS would be much, much stronger. But they said, we can't do it. So they're boy Rachmi. So that's Rachmi. See, tshuva, that's the difference really between tefillah and rachmi and between tshuva. In tshuva, you don't need rachmi. Tshuva means that the person does tshuva gemura, so that's it, midas adin. That's midas adin. Rachmi is where there's a forfeiture, but not an annihilation. In other words, there's no destruction, there's an adjustment. You can't accomplish the essential goal, the original goal, but you can still survive and have a gain. But that's how Mishpat Arav Shem is Verav Chesed VeEmes. It's both simultaneously. The Emes isn't lost. See, the Emes isn't lost because it can't be a compromise. So the Emes isn't lost. And if the person loses something because of the Emes, but the Rav Chesed keeps him and allows him to survive and to still gain on the plane that he's capable of. So he says on Tefillah, Siyach Mispal Mispal for Rachmi. Why? Because we don't rely on our Tefillah. We don't rely on our Tefillah. Only Tefillah Gemurah doesn't need Rachmi. We don't rely on our Tefillah. That's the concept. Okay, it's interesting. With this, you're going to see another Gemara here. The Gemara says Virav Chesed. So the Gemara says Mata Klape Chesed. So the Gemara there. Gemara is designed off. Mata Klape Chesed. So what is Mata Klape Chesed? So Rashi explains before. It means if the scale is even, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu bends it towards the good side, chesed. See, mata klape chesed. Rashi's holu machzal machzahim mata es hahechva letzad schus. Ve'en yodim again. That's what it means. Mata klape chesed. That's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's rough. That comes under the midah of Rav Chesed. So Gemara says, Beisulam Rav Chesed mata klape chesed. Hechi Ovid, Gemara asks, Hechi Ovid, it's the first white line on Yuzan Off. So Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer on their Kov Show. Rashi gives different pshat and he does in another place, but the pshat he gives here, Kov Show, is Kov Show is Kafam was Naim Shel Schus, Machriana Savonas. It means he presses it. It means he puts a weight on that side. So the Kaf Schus is Machriya. Shenema Yoshev Yerachmeinu Yichbo Shavonasenu. Rab Yossi B'Rab Chanina Ma Nose. Shenema Nose Ovon V'Over Al Pesha. So what does Nose mean? The other possibility. Is that what? Nose might be a Kaf Moznaim Shel Ovon. He lifts up the sign of Ovon, so the sword of Schus wins. Okay, it's heavier. So, what are Chazal talking about? I mean, just a game? I mean, just push this one down, pull that one up. I mean, but you see, this machlekes is a serious machlekes, just as serious as any machlekes in Chazal. Because there's a Gemara, there's a Gemara in Erchin that says like this. Gemara says, you know, we tend to like just, you know, in a very cursory manner, just to read over these chazal. No, okay, this way, that way. No. But you see, chazal took it very seriously. Because Gemara in Erchin of Chesam Bay says like this. Gemara says that the pasuk says Sikos Kol Kahare Kale Mishpatecha Tahom Rabba. So Gemara says, what does that mean? So Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda. If it weren't for the fact that you're tzedek means chesed, it's kahare keil, miyuchalamo d'fnei mishpatecha tahom rabba. Who could stand in front of God's mishpat?
Rabba Amar Sitkoscha Kahare Kale Mitne Shemishpatecha Tahom Rabba. Mitne Shemishpatecha Tahom Rabba. Okay? So the Gemara says, but my Kamifligi, what's Machlaikis? So the Gemara says, Machlaikis is Bidrebi Elazar Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Hanina. The same Machlaikis, the same Machlaikis, the Itma. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kovesh. Rabbi Yasi Bar Hanina Amar Nose. So Gemara says that's the same machlekes. Rabba to Rabbi Elazar. So Rabba that interpreted the pasuk mitnei shem mishpatech tohom Rabba, he holds like Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar's kovesh. And Rabbi Yehuda that says it's not mitnei, but it's not a causative relationship. It's just mishpat media. It's a kare kale is an intrinsic principle, and if it weren't for that, Mi Yuchalamo, the famous Patechat Ha'om Rabba, that's like a Birsi, that's like a Birsi Baruch Hu that says no say. And what is it? So it's hard to understand even the plain shot of it. Well, what's the difference? You can say either way you want. You can say either way you want. You can say just the opposite. It's Kosovic on Kara Kail, Mitnei, Shemish Patechat Ha'om Rabba, because in that Mishpah, he's no say. That mishpah is nasa. Why is it better if he's kovesh? You know what I mean? Why is it better if he's kovesh? Rashi over there learns him shakovesh. He learns kovesh means that he conceals the kovesh means he learns differently over there. He learns that microphone. Kovesh and master avonos. Tachas mechilas kisei akover kadeshi yachriu azafuyos, and the other way is no sin. Well, let's not chat in Russia. Yeah. So the but you see it's a serious machlokes. Mara says that it's totally Rabban Rav Yosef. It's totally the machlokes of Rav Elazar and Rav Yosef Rav Hanina. I mean Rabban Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, so what's the machlokes? How do we understand the machlokes? Whether it's kovesh or whether it's a nasa. So maybe we can understand it based upon what we're saying, because what we're saying is that the midas rav chesed means that there is some kind of an adjustment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us. You see. In order that we can continue to exist, you say that's Rav Chesed, because otherwise ain't all a miskayin. So that means that there has to be some kind of a change that warrants a change. Otherwise, if things go on the way they were before, the person will destroy himself. So the question is like this: the question is, in what way does the adjustment express itself? There's two possibilities. One, and you see, this chusum of the person is the side that saves him, and the chatoyim can destroy him. So one way is that when Chazal say he lifts up the scale of the chatoyim, it means to say that he effectuates a change in the future situation. That the chait should not destroy the person. See, he adjusts the future situation in the framework of the chait, that the chait shouldn't destroy him. You see, the other way is that he adjusts the situation so that the schusim, the part of his nature that is in line with the truth, should be able to find itself more. So it's two different possibilities. You see, one possibility is Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make any change in that area is his bechira, but he gives him a situation that the chait doesn't destroy him. The other one is he gives him situations where he can increase the side of his chiyah. Two different possibilities. You see, so that's the machlekes. Mata klape chesed. What? Which one is better? You see, machzah is not a, you can't survive machzah.
Now? Okay. Now. Okay, good. In Mechzal Mechzal, a person can't exist unless he is he relates positively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechzal Mechzal doesn't have it. Oh, you're right. Mechzal Mechzal, what it means is that you have the instinctual, and then you have the part of the soul that's drawn by the truth. So it means you can't define him as being predominantly drawn by the truth. That's Mechzal Mechzal. Okay, that's very, very possible. He's like, that's what it means.
Nor the other one.
Nor the Hainu Avonos Petom Rabba. So he's learning differently. He's learning that the pshat of what? Of Rav Chesed, of Kovesh, means that he's master the Avonos. It's a different pshat than he says, I mean, the only thing I could say, I don't understand Rashi over here, because Rashi says Master Tahas Kisei HaKavod. Mechilas Kisei, I don't know what it means. But the Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, you could say that it's more Mishpatecha Tahom Rabba if it's in terms of the person's perfection. Because if it's in terms of the Averos, that's an extraneous thing. It means that he removes the opportunity, which would, if it's extraneous. But if it's within the nature of the person's perfection, it stems from his perfection, so then it's really more intrinsic in the mishpat. More intrinsic in the mishpat. It's not an extraneous removal. It's a, it is, in other words, it is a mishpat which works with the part that he's zocha bedin. The element that he's zocha bedin in is the element that he's helped with. See, that's so. It's really intrinsic in the mishpat. But if it's simply removal of a chait, it's an extraneous thing. But it's interesting. But what is the what is the machlekes? That's a good question. What is the machlekes? What's the machlekes? I mean, the machlekes is a deep machlekes. Machlekes is, you see, it's not a question of which one's better. It's a question of midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the question. Because midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relates to the bechira of the avadam. You see, a person's bechira. So the question is, in the midah of Rav Chesed, does it mean that insofar as the element, the positive element, which can progress in a human being, you see, is that part never affected? Because that part is never, you see, in the Mishpat, that part is that, that remains under the same way that it was originally intended, you see. But the element, the destructive element of chet, things that can destroy him, that's removed. But the other way is that the Rav Chesed even enhances the positive element itself. That's a different kind of an interference in the system. It's a different kind of interference. It's more of an interference. You see, but that's the question, really. That's the machlekes in Chazal. That's the machlekes. Machlekes is in the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is niyug ba'olam. How does he, in the Rav Chesed, what is effectuated? It's simply removal from the pitfalls of chait. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He removes him from the pitfall that would destroy him. That would be a minimal. The other way is that he gives him access to greater perfection. And that's two different midas. That's the machlekes. What is the midah of Rav Chesed? Okay. Yeah.
Why can't you say mechsan?
You can't say that. You can't say mechsan. When mechsan, you have no relationship with God, because the positive side is not in control. It must be in order to exist. That's why mechsan is no good. I said before, because in order to exist, the person's essence must be positively towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's not, then there's no existence. That's why mechsan is no good.
You can't wait.
What?
Something has to be done immediately.
Well, that's the thing. If it wouldn't be for Rav Chesed, he would cease to exist. So the Rav Chesed does not destroy him and allows him another opportunity. But the question is through which method. Something has to change, otherwise it can't continue.
So if he's gonna have extra if the possibility is to be able to get extra squeals, so then what's the loss in that in the Rathman?
The loss is that he can't ever attain what he would have attained originally.
He would have gained those squeals without the Rathman.
Right. I mean, the loss is in the adjustment. It means that he's losing an opportunity. Just like by the case of Sanhedrin. They had to say, we don't want there'd be tremendous benefit if we had this. If we could overcome the Yetzer, it'd be a tremendous benefit, but we're not going to be able to do it. So they'll never get that benefit again. That's it. The benefit's gone. Yeah.
The person is Ms. Paolo.
I can't say what can happen to a person ultimately. That's a different thing. I'm just saying, I don't talk about it in the given elements.
The person is Ms. Paolo, and it's my Paolo from Ms. Pester.
Right.
You have the right to have mind one of these things.
No, you shouldn't. No, it's just me discussing whatever you discuss it. Whatever you discuss it. What?
Can't be Ms. Paolo. They actually put in a situation that not the only power
that they should be put in a situation. Well, you see, well, I'm Ms. Paolo for that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm Ms. Paolo for that. Yeah, you must bow for both of them. Well, yeah, there's no question about it. You're right. You mean it seems to be that they accepted the tefillah, so working the other way.
Right.
Working the other way. You're right. What's the tefillah that shloach ta'or mashlas? I question that. Shloach ta'or. That doesn't make any sense to me. It seems to me you can't say shloach ta'or because ain't tzadik bar shiyas tov lo yechta. Say shloach ta'or, you could say. Shloach ta'or. But I think I checked the Rambam's Gish, he didn't have it, if I'm not mistaken.
He didn't have Shalot at all.
Ode, he didn't say it, if I'm not mistaken. Shalot, yeah, I think so. Shalot Echta Ode is, how's that possible?
I missed that.
In our Gish, it says Shalot Echta Ode. But it says, Ain't Tzadik Barat Shiyasat Avalo Yechta. So it's not possible, Shalot Echta Ode. So, say Shalot Echta, I shouldn't be involved in Chait. But not Ode. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rambam's Gish was different. Am I right? So Rambam's Gish is different? We checked it out, right? The Rambam's Gish thing was different. Where's the vidui? The vidui, where's the vidui in the Rambam? The vidui in the Rambam is...
What vidui are we referring to?
The vidui, the end of the vidui. The end of the list, that, you know, the one that you misspell, Alakai, Achlon, Atzati, and Ifudai. Achlon, Atzati, Kilo, Lon, Atzati. Afini, Bechai, Gavin. Yitzam, Fonecha, Shlo, Echta. Mash, Tosel, Fonecha. For one second, here, in this one has shloach tov, but yeah, you have a kapachs. We got kapachs tefillos. Maybe I'm wrong. Right? Do we have the round? What's that? This one is gemara shloach tov. Wait, man, yomar. To be rest. But anyways, okay. I'll check it over. No, one second. I got to check it out. Because we don't understand it. But anyways, that's a set point. Okay.
Yeah, but the field
seems to
indicate going that way.
Yeah, the field seems to indicate going that way. Because that's what it's saying. It's saying that the opportunity for chet should not present itself. That's midas rachman. That's correct. I mean, that's really the tefillah. It's on Fanacha, what? Shlo Echta, Mashfasli, Merog Brachmecha Rab. So it means to say that the Tzad Chet should not, Tzad Chet should be changed. What? Yeah, but not in these tefillos. These tefillos seems to be the other way. Where's the, you get the one? Can't find it? What?
Actually, I'm sorry.
Forget about that. I got to check it out.
I don't understand something. I'm sorry.
What?
Basically. The way we define them, actually, it's a question. Last is not a question. They didn't, you know, this affected that, but it's really the personality of the God.
Yeah, but it has to do with that. I mean, that's how you get the personality through the scale.
So then you're saying if he's master the
chayim. No, because what a person does is what his personality consists of. That's how is the personality determined by his actions? I mean, so that's.
And that,
right.
In what way does that change the person now in terms of?
Doesn't change the person. God doesn't change the person. He never changes the person. But the person stays the same. But
he. The person has to get it in terms of the fact that he can't be defined as being one who's drawn after God.
So the Rachman changes that with the given personality that he has. If he would continue in the future, he would destroy him. You see, he would be destroyed. So therefore, because he can't exist like that, so therefore, what's necessary is that the Tzad Chet should not be able to express itself fully, based upon the situations of the person's life. That's correct. That's the tefillah.
The Kuntzor explained that the question is, does the Rav Chesed even give him new opportunities, you know, affect the good side?
Yeah.
Right, but does that mean, the side which says that it does that exclude the other possibilities? No, that it could avoid
it. Yes, it does.
It
seems so.
It's not that it even goes that far. It's that is what Rav Chesed.
Nobody seems to say that.
At least that.
I mean, so that's why we misspell that way. That makes sense. In other words, what Eli's saying is that it makes sense that we misspell this way, even though sometimes because all mafriya. I mean, tefillos is the mafriya. You know, so certain things in tefillos, yeah, right. But but it could be that that's simply the minimal expression of the amida. So we're misspell at least for that. Okay.
So the machlokas is what's done with the bain. I mean, it's not necessarily to say that you can't
right.
ask for
right.
one of these things.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. What's done with the bain? Right. Right.
Yeah, so
right.
That means you could, even if it's a lower thing for the
band,
then you
could
still
pay
the
spot
for
them. Right.
That.
Yeah, it's correct.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What were we saying?
He said
that, I think he said that the
In terms of his essential relationship, right. That's right. Ram says it's all fills based on that. That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, was one that? Oh, the one with the tefillah. Each one had their own tefillah. That's right, you're right. After the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the Tom Alley.
Yeah.
So that was one of the tefillahs. What is that? What's Lashon? It does say Shlach Torah.
Maybe Rami didn't have a guess.
Does anybody quote, is there Rama on it? I'll take a look at the Gisa Riff. I'm sorry, we don't have the Kapachas.
Which Rama
is this? It's not important now. Good enough. That's not important. Let's go. That doesn't matter. Okay, that's a small point. What?
Where is it in the Rama?
It's just a side point I mentioned. What? In the Rama bin Hilchas Tefillah in the Vidur. And if not, I don't understand. Anyway, it's a problem. I don't know. It's certainly a problem. It's just not possible. But anyways, okay. I don't understand that. But you have to check it out. Check out the other one. Anyways, so is there anything outside of Bracha? Did you mention anything to Gisa? Did you get the riff over there? Nah, but he's saying now Shlach Ta'od in the future. It's not possible. Such things not possible. Can't be Shlach Ta'od. It's not possible to be that way. Man is not constructed that way. It's just not possible. Moshe Rabbeinu was like that. It's not possible. What? No, Shalolech is okay because he's saying that I shouldn't be involved in fate. That's what he's saying. But Ode means ever. Shloechta should never, ever. That's a difficult thing to say. Shloechta means I shouldn't, insofar as I would be prone to chait, I shouldn't. Insofar as the realm of chait is reality for man. So I shouldn't be involved in it. But Shloechta Ode is it's a difficult thing. But anyways, okay. Right. But the... I check it out in the room. I think I remember there was something there from last year. But anyways. Is there another Gisser? Well, anyways, okay. Look, we're getting in cycles. Okay, next case. So let's go. What I wanted to get back to was, do you have the what I wanted to get back to was something that we mentioned yesterday. The Rambam on the idea of the... on the idea of the Ram from the Marne Vuchim, but the Ram really explains the concept of the Yigimel Midos. By the way, translation is terrible. Translation is very bad. It leads to a lot of misunderstandings. You can't trust this translation. But anyways, do you want Hebrew? You have the... Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Ram's like this. So the Ram says... What? The Gemara does not have the word of. Doesn't, huh? It makes more sense. What daf? Hey, Zion on base. It just struck me as a strange thing. Right. Shloechta. Yeah, much plus more. Yeah, that's what it is. Doesn't have a vote. Yep. Yeah. One of them's look, I mean, you know, like yourselves, and not there's mistakes in yourselves. That's for sure. Two different authors. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It says
Vahinu Vidiri Rava. Oh, it says Vahinu Vidiri. Oh, yeah. Kulashaita. Oh, yeah. Kulashaita, yeah. Rava Nunezuta, remember the quote. Yep.
Wasn't the Vahinu Vidiri also saying that?
That's the problem. This is tefillah and vidur. No, the davar is there. The davar is there. That's something else. Any chazal with the chayta la'olam, anyway, that's ridiculous. What kind of things? It's not possible.
Including the chayt, something which you know you're going to do again. You get the personal vidur.
Okay. Unless it's a reference to a particular chayt, that's possible.
Yeah, you could check.
In a particular chayt. Yeah. Okay. I'll check out the Rams and Nesuf. But, so anyway, so the Ram and the Mar, Ram and the Mar, okay. Oh, it doesn't matter. This is I don't know which one's better. Kapax is more textually probably better. Probably, because the mistakes fall on me over the years. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely understood the Ram much better. No question about that. Right. You really need both of them. Okay. Ba'aretz. Shechashu shashkachasi zal kol seitzel gagal hayareach. The Sha'aratz and Masha Bon Nezav. Eino rak kemosha bielanu al yad adon kolachachom kilashem aratz. Yom ashkash kachasagam ken baratz kifim ashahi. Kemosha shgich bashamayan kifim ashahim. Vahu amro kenir shem adirai. Vachka chishlamayin va'oma kibelach vatsi. Right. Rasan shakavanasi she yetze mi kem chesed mishpat estaka baratz kemashimene gemiris. Damos behem. Okay. Shnelech al darkam. Kain. Okay. Yeah, so the thing is like this. What I wanted to mention was, somebody asked a question. Mark said he asked me a question. He says, isn't that a lack in terms of, wouldn't that be describing a lack in terms of the creator? Because we're saying that that his constant influence is necessary for the universe. His constant influence is necessary for the universe. By the way, it's an interesting thing. I just want to mention this. That, you see, the Rambam says the idea that... and the Rambam says, he says Amotsui Azeh, it is the first of the Yesodos. Amotsui Azeh, hu alakei olam adon kolorets. Vu amaneg agalgal bakoach shein lokates v'tachlas. The koch shein lo hefsek shagal also with tamid the ef shishayiso below mesavev the hu baruchu hamesavev also below yada below guf. It's interesting. That was the old physics. That was before the Newtonian physics. So Newtonian physics, in the Aristotelian system, it was inexplicable how the motion of the planets. So the Rambam says. The Rambam was going with the Aristotelian physics. So that's what the Rambam says, the same thing as Aristotle, that there's, that it's the, it's caused by God. But he mentions it again in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. Interesting, he mentions it in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where he says that that was the proof of, Avraham Avinu, he says. That, yeah. Okay, it's an interesting thing. But we know today that the planetary motion is just as natural as any. There's no difference between planetary motion and motion on this earth. Yeah. So what does it mean? I see what the Ram is saying here. Something. The physics. I mean, physics. A person is always limited to his generation. But the Yesodos are the Yesodos. The metaphysical Yesodos are eternal. The Rambam is saying is. that if you study the universe, you see, you're going to come to a point where you find that there is no causation. You find something that there's no causation. Which means, why? Because the concept of God is not simply that he constructs something and then this thing exists without him, but that his influence is necessary to sustain its existence. And it's not a chasaron, on the contrary. See, a person can make it. The better builder of a house is the one that builds it and needs less servicing. Yeah, because the things exist without him. You understand? His building is not putting anything into existence. So that's why the better the builder, the less he has to service. But over here, on the contrary. Over here, the existence of the thing is, there's nothing that can exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without the Creator. So the influence, what Yadus maintains is that the influence of God is constant in the universe, you see. That the universe requires his influence in order to exist. So that idea means that if you study physics enough, you will come to a situation where there is no causation. And how does it work? It's the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam is saying. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. But he was depending that idea on the physics of his time. But the Yesod is the same Yesod. See, the Yesod is, and that without that, the universe could not exist. You will never be able to show that the universe can be explained by causation, because you're going to come to a point where you're not going to find any causation.
Well, when you say the universe in terms of continued existence, not at its inception, but even its continued existence.
Even its continued existence. And the reason why it continues is direct influence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His influence. Physics, interestingly enough, physics does have that, because that's the whole problem with the quantum. The problem with the quantum is that there's no way to explain the disintegration of atoms. And the physicists maintain that it's not that we haven't found the cause, but they maintain that they could ascertain that there absolutely is no cause. There is no cause. And the disintegration takes place according to a certain mathematical formula and a pattern. But the question is, how does a pattern emerge when there is no basic individual causality? That's correct. So that was the big machlokes between Einstein and between Bohr. So Bohr said that it's a law of chance, you see.
And develops into a pattern?
It's chance, yeah, you're saying chance. You're saying, probability. Probability. You see?
There is no more.
Okay. Yeah, so Bohr said it was probability, and that's why Einstein made his famous statement that God doesn't play dice with the universe. But I want you to understand, you see, this is a question, this is not a question of physics. This is a question of epistemology. It's a question of, the question is like this. You see, what bothered Einstein is not you know, the famous stories of boy told Einstein, don't tell God what to do. You know, stop telling God what to do. Yeah, but the thing is, that's not the question. The question is probability an idea? You see, is there a human idea of probability? Or chance? Because whenever we say chance, we mean we don't really know the cause. But we mean there are causes there, but we don't have the ability to determine them. So the chances are, you could set up a probability scale. Do you understand what I mean? But there's no idea in the human mind of intrinsic probability. Do you know what I'm saying? Intrinsic probability doesn't exist. when we say chance or when we say probability, it's based on a lack of knowledge. Just like, for instance, an insurance scale. They say you'll know that a certain amount of people die from heart attacks. It doesn't mean that there's no cause for the individual either, but we don't know. You see? So, but there is no idea that appeals to the human mind intrinsically as chance. You see? So that's why chance is not an explanation for the human mind. That's the point. You understand what I'm saying? You can say probability is anything you want. But if you say you can't say that you explain something when you the idea that you're using to explain doesn't register in the human mind as an explanation,
right?
You see, then you're gonna have to say that it's beyond mind. If it's beyond mind, then your job as a physicist is over, because now you got there's no mind anymore. So the universe doesn't lend itself to mind. So now there's no more physics. You see, no more science. It's the end of science, you say that. You see, that's the problem. That is the problem.
What did it say in the way of God doesn't play that?
That's what he meant. He meant that God works with chokhmah. And the person that plays dice doesn't know. He's ignorant. He's totally ignorant.
We're talking
about
the two causes of chance, no?
What?
God.
I understand what I'm talking about.
Whatever cause there is of chance, yes, we're talking about that.
That's correct.
No?
Right, so therefore what?
Why is that?
Okay, he's just giving a mushroom, please. I'm not a dashness with it. It's not a pussy. I mean, he just meant to say that a person that plays dice is a fool and doesn't know what he's doing. It's just chance. He's saying that that's the way God works and he works that way. Yeah, that's it. It's absurd to say that. That's why, please, I'm a crazy question. Anyways, the point I want you to understand is that the idea of chance per se is not something that registers as an explanation in the human mind. There's no intrinsic idea like that. You see, that's the problem. But the question is, but it's interesting because the Rambam had the same, what would the Rambam say about that? I mean, the only thing I could say is that the Rambam, I can't, you know, we don't know. Because if, for instance, you were existing in the time of Newton, so you wouldn't know anything about this. See, so science, science takes time, centuries and centuries, and there's no way of knowing, you know, where you are at this point, that this is the ultimate point. And that's the problem. That's the problem. But the only thing you can say is that the Rambam was confronted with a similar dilemma, but the Rambam apparently said that according to Yahadus, according to our metaphysics, we say that there is such a phenomenon, and that if you search enough, you'll discover such a phenomenon. But that phenomenon, I can't say this is the one, I mean, because I'm not a physicist, but I could just say that there is such a phenomenon, and the only explanation is that it's the influence of God that sustains it that way. His design, you see. How he does it, that we don't know. That's beyond the ability of man. But that his influence is constant in securing the universe as we see it, you see, that we know from the Sora that is true, you see. And that's what the Rambam is saying also, with regard to Hashgacha, that is the way to understand Hashgacha. Ani Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Zaka Ba'aretz. It means his influence. He puts it in the Aristotelian, in the old astronomy, you know, that extends to the earth, because they thought the earth was the sublunar. But it doesn't make any difference, really. It's the same idea. It means just like his influence extends to the sphere of the continued existence of the universe, his influence extends to the realm of human life and the realm of and human activity, and that influence is what sustains the human being. That's the way to understand it. Okay. Now you see, this explains also something else in the Mara, where the Mara says, And the, let's see, where is the model?
The English one?
Yeah, give me the English one. The Rambam deals with the question of good and evil. See, the Rambam deals with the question of good and evil. So he says, he gives his famous argument, which Ramban quotes in the Rambam deals with the question of good and evil, and he gives his famous answer, which Ramban quotes in his Shargmol. So the Ramban quotes the Rambam. He says, of course, he's correct. But the Rambam says that how the world is constructed in a way, you see, that most people can really obtain what they need. And the only reason that people are unhappy is because they're not satisfied with what they have, and then they pursue the taivas, and then they have problems. But the way the world was made was really for a person that wants to be a chachma, involve himself in chachma. It's relatively easy. The difficulty is overcoming his inner nature. So when people read that, it's unsatisfying to them. Like I say, yeah, that's true. But what about the person that has that answer the question? Has answered the question about the person who really tries and some evil befalls him? So you're not explaining that. So you're not explaining that situation. So in other words, you're not answering the question. Look at the Rambam, like he's not answering the question. Yeah, he's giving a nice, and it's true. But it doesn't explain good and evil. It's not an explanation. That's what I'm going to do with the other cases. With the case where the guy was living like a tzaddik and something evil befell him. I mean, he became ill with this or that, whatever. Right? So it doesn't explain it. I don't understand. See, that kind of a question is only a question for a fool, because the question is based on the person's desire to explain and to have a security about his fate. You know what I mean? And how can you show me that my fate is secure if I'll keep the Torah? That's not the Rambam's objective. The Rambam's objective is to understand Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, that's what the Rambam's saying in this last chapter. He's saying the objective for man, ki im bezos yishal ha-masalo, is to understand Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing Balaam. And that's why the Ramban has that answer in the Shaar HaGemul, even though there are many other problems. So you say, if there are many other problems, so what's the purpose of this? So he didn't answer the question. He answered the question 50%, 70%, 80%, but he didn't answer the full question. If the idea is not to answer the question. You see, it's not to answer the question. The idea is to learn from Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to learn from them. That's the idea. So that's what the Ramban is quotes. That's what the Ramban quotes the Rambam, and he says that's a very, very good and true thing. Because the Rambam is saying that you could see Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way he constructed the planet, the world, you see. That he did create it in the way, and that most people's troubles are really due to themselves. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see. That's very important. That's very important, because that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have cases that you can't explain. That's a separate thing. Of course, everything requires knowledge. And like the Ramban says in Shaar HaGemul, we're mechuyev to investigate as far as we can in every single area. You see, that's true. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to know the nature of your investigation. If you're trying to answer a question because it disturbs you, you're not happy, you want an answer. That's not an investigator. That's not derech at all. Well, the Torah, the meat of, and if you're a type of person that says you don't care, you'll just rely on what the Torah says, then you're not interested in Chachma. That's what Ramban says too, then you're Mois B'Chachma. But, and not only Mois B'Chachma, but you're denying the mitzvah of Ma'wa Fata, which means that you should investigate. And you should learn from Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the way he set up this world. So it's very important to understand that. Because by understanding that, you're learning Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're learning from Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so far as your own personal life is concerned. Because if that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your life should be in line with that, because that's his Midah. you see. And he lets you be in line with reality. So that's really, you see, that's really noveya. I mean, it stems from a proper understanding of the Yigimu Midas. Understand what the Yigimu Kim deserves is halam is halal, like the Rambam says. You see. That's an important point. It's an important point. But and of course it means that the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintains that system. Maintain that was in the creation and it's maintained that way. It's maintained that way. You see. So So let me just So now the question is, what are we up to over here? What is the list? What's next? Yeah, go ahead.
So when the person asked the question, Tzad Korala, Rosh and Tola, so he's asking the question based on his own personal security, is that what you say?
I would say most people, that's all they're interested in.
And the way the Ramban would answer would be?
Would not be satisfying, because it's not going to be satisfying, because you want to explain. Well, you want to explain like that rabbi wrote why bad things happen to good people. You want to explain. If that's your objective, then what the Rambam is saying obviously doesn't answer the question, because you can't explain every case. So you can in science you have to explain. You have to explain every case. You see. So but that's just a foolish person. I mean, that's why the person that wrote the book, why bad things happen to good people? That's a stupid question. That's not the question. What a person should try to do is to try to understand Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not try to set up a thing where either he has a total answer or else there's one answer and he has to understand it or else. And it's stupid.
When you answer the person that we can't understand every case of God's justice.
No. That's not the answer. That's also not the answer. I mean, you find two answers. Either they try to give a silly answer and tries to answer the whole question, or else they say you can't understand it. That's also not an answer. Both answers are bad.
So the right
answer is we have to study Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's study Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system, if the system is good or if it's, as others want to say, it's a bad life. Is it a good life or a bad life? Let's take a look. And if you look with the Sechel, you see the unbelievable Chesed Hashem in terms of the way he constructed it, and that most people's problems are really due to themselves, due only to themselves, and they imagine. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk in Mishlei says that. That's right. The chsil is what's your name? The chsil, the foolish person, right, distorts his ways and his life. Ve'alad Hashem yizaviba, and he complains. That's the person that doesn't engage in the doesn't pursue the knowledge of the Yigimu Midas. That's what the Rambam is saying. I'm saying his Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation itself. You have to know that Mido. Okay. So there's Ashgacha, there's other things. But this is definitely one of the Midos. This is not nature. It's not a matter of nature, this is the way nature is. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo. It's a different concept. Totally different concept. Okay.
So
it's important. I mean, some of these things that sound like they're the same. They're not the same. They're very, very different. Yes.
I understand the question is scientifically invalid, or just most people ask it for the wrong reason.
Am I saying that it's scientifically invalid? I'm saying, yeah, it's scientifically invalid. Of course it is. I mean, it's there's no question. The question is right. Yeah.
And the reason it's invalid is?
Because the nature of the question, it's like in science, you have to have the right framework. You know, you can't say that you want things to be a certain way, and that's why you're going to pursue all knowledge that fits into that thing. You have to study the way they're given order. of things. You have to subordinate to the Givuna. Seems that that's the person that does that just wants an answer for himself. That's istamaful.
Well, I know the motivation for 99% people is completely wrong, but I'm just saying, is your question completely invalid for most rabbis to say why bad things happen?
No. It's not invalid, but the method is yedias midas hakadosh baruch hu. So therefore, you understand what I'm trying to say?
I mean,
what I'm trying to say is that if you just want an answer to the question, so then this won't have any value to you. So you didn't answer the question. But if you're studying Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is very valuable. This is very valuable knowledge, because this is insight into Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's not answering this particular question. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Like you said, it's not emotionally satisfying.
That would be saying having that question.
Okay. Whatever. I can't go with Einstein. That's it. Whatever you understand. Is next case. But anyways, the thing is like this: that the think it out. But the point is like this. The point is what?
That's tremendous. What the Rambam did was tremendous. They don't appreciate it.
Exactly. They don't appreciate it because they're always looking for that answer. You know, they either you can explain it or not, and then they don't understand. I don't appreciate what he did. And then that's how the Ramban includes it over there.
He went far.
Ramban
went far in answering practically all the problems.
That's right. That's right. But somebody will say, but that's not correct. He answered practically. But he didn't answer all of them, so he didn't give an answer. You see, it doesn't work that way over here. It's not like a scientific thing. You have to, okay. All right. But the idea is to gain from Yediyah of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. Okay. Now, the thing is, yeah, so the thing is, so now, where does this lead us? So now this leads us to the question, to the question of the original question that we started off with, which is that Hera Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Seda Tfila, right? Va'omar, that calls Moshe Yisrael Chotin, Asu Lefonek Seda Zevin Dominion Machalam, right? And bris crucially, you'd give a meter, Shane, and close and rake on, right? So now, why? And the question is, what is it? It's really not a tefillah. It's really a limud. It's really a limud. Yeah. But it's interesting. See, the Rambam, when he gets finished, at the end, he says like this. If it goes to everything, he says, the object of the above passage is, let me take this part out of here. You see, because the Rambam says before, he explains every word in the pasuk. And then it adds, he says, so what does that do? See? And now he summarizes. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 2. V'hoyu halichos oso ha'odom. Achar oso ha'hasogo mischavein bohem tamid. Chesed, tzedek, u'mishpat, lizdamos b'masav yisal ha'der shabiyanu kamapon ma'imazah. So the Ram says, so he sums it up. Three things. One is Yediyas Hashem in terms of Elokei HaShemayim v'Elokei HaAretz. Two is Yediyas Hashem in understanding Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's two. Studying the Midos. I mean, that's the Machlokes of Chazal. Rav Chesed, is it this or is it that? That's why did Chazal pursue that? Because that's what the Pasuk says. And then the third thing is that once the person gains the knowledge, that the knowledge should be applied. Because that's God's will that, see, in doing that, two things. In doing that, a person is doing two things. Ki be'elo chafatzinu Hashem means that is the will of God in terms of the human society, that it should exist this way. That's his will in the creation. So the individualism is in line, is bringing about the will of God in his creation. That's one. And he's also perfecting himself to the highest degree through that activity. You see? Two things. In terms of the last matara, this too, because sometimes a person could be perfecting himself, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the purpose of the bria. Like the Rambam has to perfect himself, he has to go to the extreme, but that's not the, he's not engaged in, it's not be'ela chafatzti. It's, that's perfection for man. But over here, be'ela chafatzti means that this is the order that, that God's will demands in the world, in the, on the earth. So by living that way, he's living the way God intended the Bria to be, to exist. You see, that's the proper way for the Bria to exist. And he's perfecting himself, you see. But it's both. It's also chesed mishpor sakri be'elo chafatzti no mashem. Okay, so that's really the Yigimel Midos. That's it. Those are the elements of the Yigimel Midos. Yeah.
He's perfecting himself because he's following Ratzon Hashem.
No. Intrinsically. We got to be careful. Ratzon Hashem. By Ratzon Hashem, we don't mean that God doesn't need anybody to help. Ratzon Hashem doesn't mean that God's will. So it doesn't mean it means that that is the way that's the way it should exist. That is, it's Chachmas Hashem, Ratzon Hashem. Same thing.
Implication
means this is the way it should be. This is. The design was for this. Okay? This is the way the design was meant to be. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, so a social order was created, and there's a proper social order, so there's an incorrect one. But the correct one is the one that's mechuvan, mishashish and mebrashish. That's what it means. This is the way God's chachma dictates that man should live. Okay? So the Gimel Midos. So the Gimel Midos is really the ultimate, is the ultimate perfection for man. So that's the idea. That in this is really a subject of limud. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu that even though it's not essentially tefillah, but when Bnei Yisrael are mispalel, if they're mitzaref, this injunction of the yedias, the yegimel midos, in the tefillah, it's a kiyum, it is the greatest kiyum in the tefillah. This is, it's different, but this yedia, Even on a, in other words, it means, of course, the more a person understands, the greater the kiyum. But it means this reference, the reference to here is the perfection of man, the gimel midos, that man should strive to attain knowledge insofar as he can, and that's his objective in his existence. And the reference to that idea in tefillah is what gives the tefillah the highest validity possible. That reference in tefillah. It's an interesting thing. That's what chazal means. That's what ena chazarega. Ena chazarega means that if a person is foul, and in that tefillah, he references the Yigimel Midos, and the ideas of the Yigimel Midos, and that this is the greatest importance of the greatest importance to man. That knowledge is tied, gives his tefillah a certain quality that it's ain't a chazareka. That's the chazal interpret. Interesting. Hard to say more than that.
That's what's meant by the
Zahid. What?
The deeper of what this means.
That's what Masafesh means. That's the bris krusa. Why should it be that way? That bris krusa in the first item. That's the Maran Avura.
The Maran Avura framework.
Because this is the whole framework of human existence. So even a reference to the framework, even a reference to the framework is the bris of the bris krusa of the Adyomidos. That's what it is. But we understand the importance of it without the mind. But the Maran Avuha says that if this is incorporated in tefillah, it's ein echaz reitam. That's why that is. Moshe Rabbeinu understood, but we don't understand. We just know that there was an understanding of that.
Do we understand why it's in tefillah?
Why it's in tefillah? That's correct, because that means you can understand why it's in tefillah, because it means that tefillah, it means that the tefillah has to be tied with a certain kind of knowledge, and that is the knowledge of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest kiyum. You know, when a person mispalel, he's really being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the knowledge of the fact that the pursuit of the Gimel Midos is the greatest perfection is the greatest key in the Torah.
Rabbi, yeah. About the fact that we say the Torah's tefillah and not the Torah's tefillah, I guess only that you said is the same.
That's exactly
knowledge for tefillah, but you're saying that it's. You actually say it, the Torah.
That's correct. It's the only knowledge that is an accompaniment of tefillah. The other Dalaf Nimi Atomet, of course, is that's a middle of Hashem. That's understood. But the only body of knowledge that is a kiyum and a component in tefillah. That's the Yudimonidas. There's nothing else there's nothing else of that nature. That's the only case. Otherwise, knowledge and tefillah are different things. This is the only bit of knowledge that's a key in tefillah. Okay. That's what it says, because it's an echaz regel. But I mean, of course, you understand, it has to be done in the right way. It's not just the person just going to say it. That's nonsensical. I mean, we don't have any myths like that. So you have to understand that, and it has to be said properly with the correct kavana and the correct knowledge. Mark says question was, a better builder has to service the thing less. Yeah, that's because when a builder comes along, he doesn't need the existence of the things to guarantee. Now it's a question of the relationship between those things that exist. So if he doesn't relate them properly, you know, they're not going to. But by God, there's no such thing as God, because everything, there's no thing exists separate from God. So on the contrary, that would mean that there is the ascribing existence outside of God.
It must be this way.
Exactly.
But straight terms of existence, it's not necessarily in terms of function.
So you can't draw an analogy. Analogy is a silly analogy. That's a good question. But apparently in order for it to sustain itself in terms of existence, it needs God's influence constantly.
Even within the chukim.
The chukim work within a framework of existence, but the existence it requires its constant influence. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But that explains also, by the way, that explains why it was the why what it means that it was the proof of Avraham Avinu. But it means that Avraham Avinu had that knowledge that the universe cannot sustain itself without God's influence on a constant basis. That was part of his metaphysics, an essential part of his metaphysics.
Can you do that metaphysically or through physics?
I don't know. I can't answer. It's not two separate things. In Yad, it's not two separate things. It's the same subject. Okay. I mean, it's two aspects to it. But it's studied. Maisa Bereishis is not It's not physics, apart from a physicist doesn't study Maisa Bereishis. He's studying something else, not Maisa Bereishis.
The fact that it's physics is wrong, does that take away from his knowledge of that point?
The fact that his physics is wrong? No, the fact that he's not a metaphysician, that's what's wrong.
No, I'm saying Avraham Avinu, the fact that it's physics
is wrong. No, no, no. The Rambam is just applying it to the science of his times. But the idea is the same. That means that Avraham Avinu is going to get the point. What it means is that we have a Masorah in terms of metaphysics, that this was the idea, that Avraham Avinu's idea was not simply that God is the source of the creation, but that his influence is constantly necessary in sustaining it. Rambam just pointing to a case from the physics of his time. But the metaphysical idea is the same. It's correct. That metaphysical idea doesn't change. Okay.
Rambam held creation wasn't provable either.
What's that?
He held creation wasn't really provable at face physics.
Rambam held it wasn't provable. That's correct. But that it's a superior theory, he held it as.
Superior to what?
Superior to the other alternative.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a superior thing. And he was right. now all of this is superior. It's superior theory.
The idea of
that was Einstein's big mistake. That was the only mistake that really made himself made a really big mistake. And this got that. What is the what's the continuity in the field? Because in the field it says Kurdish Tavanarishanaha Vena Law and Balagah. Okay, so this is a Kakasu Vayigba Hashem Tafak and Mishbot Vakela Yigbat Vistaka. So the question is, what is the continuity? What's the right in the past? Yigbat Hashem Tafak and Mishbot, what does it have to do with the idea that Kurdish Tavanarishanaha Vena Law and Balagah? Yeah. So we said that if you look at the parak in Yeshayahu, so the whole parak has a theme over there, and the theme you get in Yeshayahu is Yeshayahu gives mussar to the people. So what is the mussar? The mussar is Yeshayahu hey paskidala. So it says, "How much time have I built a shecha yedel for machre vaneshes yain everything? Where your chino vanevel tofus vanevel tofus the follow the yain stand? There's Paul Hashem le'adikun nasi yadav lo lo." So the mussar is that they engage in drink and in pleasures and essentially in enjoying yain and music. And that's how they spend the day. As far as them, they refrain from seeing the chachmas of Shanti. So the Radak brings down. He says, "A nice together chachmas of Tafavim. In many ideas, Adam will cover a boric, no shonu b'mizma, ma'adishim of the Lord." Where it says, "Ama, the era shemecha maisi es posach, rama shemayim satan poikel, rotsaloma kolo omer al so biyosam yeda kavarakel." So from the chachma of the stars, I'm saying the stars in the heavens, the chachmas kachavim. So we move on. So they see a kadosh baruch hu kavar Hashem. Rotsaloma she is born with the chachmasos, and mimena yedu kavar abore. So that's really the theme of Yishayah, that the people engage in Yayin Veshecha and Gunim and tunes, and they don't follow, pursue any kind of Chachmas Hashem, which really gives them the das Hashem. So that's another thing. Chayim go amim mitzvim das. Uchavodom is a rava amono tzichei shama. So then it continues and it speaks about destruction that results from that. Then it goes back to the loss of love. And loss of love, it says, the Yigba Hashem Tzvachos HaMishpat, or Tehel HaKadosh Midbash Vitzvach. So what is the continuity? So the continuity is that ultimately it will be reversed. That's what he mentioned before, that ultimately it will be reversed. So when it's reversed, what does it mean? So then reversed means that the Chachmas Hashem will emerge from Hashem's Mishpat, the ultimate Mishpat of the Yom HaDin, the ultimate Yom HaDin. What is its objective? The objective of the ultimate Yom HaDin? The objective is that people will abandon their nonsensical pastimes and they'll engage in Chachmas Hashem, and they'll see from the Chachma in the universe, they'll see the Kvod Hashem. They'll see the Kvod Hashem. That's the Yigba Hashem Tzvachos HaMishpat. So the the loss of the Vayid Bashim Tzavos Mishpat is the opposite of the situation that Yishayahu is criticized. So the emphasis in the pasuk is Vayid Bashim Tzavos, that Hashem Tzavos will become apparent to humanity. That's really what the Navi is teaching. So you have to underline Vayid Bar Hashem Tzvachos HaMishpat. What is Hashem Tzvachos? That means the Tias Hashem, and Hashem Tzvachos means the term Hashem Tzvachos means God who appears through the Tzvay Hashemayim, through the study of the universe. So that's the continuity. That's the continuity. That Kadoshata Venorish Macha Vina Law in Palataka, a Kosso, by Yigba Hashem Tzvachos HaMishpat, for the whole purpose of the Mishpat, of the Chaintain Pachtva, the little loss of love. So the whole of the Chaintain Pachtva, the objective is that man will recognize the Chachmas of Hashem from the universe, and the Kvod Hashem will be apparent before all who exist, all of humanity. So you have to underline the emphasis of Yigba Hashem Tzvachos HaMishpat. Tens vakas means alakei Hashemayim v'alakei Aretz, and that's really expressed in another mizmor that I did, and that's the mizmor of David mizmor, because you say miyuzem melech hakavod. So first to say that Hashem means the Gibor Hashem Gibor Mochama. It means to say that when a person searches for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so first to see he is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem means the Gibor. Okay, who is the melech hakavod? I can't answer that question. But I can tell you about the Melech. Hashem is the Gibor. Hashem Gibor Muhammad. Who is Hashem? What is manifest when a person pursues the Das Hashem. So, but then he goes on. He says, "Miyuzem Melech Kavod, Hashem Tzvachos Melech Kavod." So, ultimately, the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of God of the universe. So that's why Yigbar Hashem Tzvachos from it. The Mishpat will read, as the objective of the Mishpat is, that they'll recognize the Kvod Hashem from the universe, from the Chachmas the Chachmas HaKachavim, the Chachmas of the universe. That's the continuity. Okay. So then we just mentioned in passing that the V'chein Tein Pach Kvod Hashem Elokeinu Al Kol Ma'asecha, Ein Moschah Kol Ma'aseh Barasecha. So there's, by the way, they must not come out. So we said, why does it have two different terminology, two different terms, Masecha and Masha Barasa? So we mentioned that a human being finds himself in two frameworks, exists in two frameworks. And one framework exists simply as a Masecha. Of the Maaseh, that he's just an object of the creation. He's simply an object of the creation, and that is equal. If you study a human being, you'll see Chachmas Hashem just like if you study a stone. So just like if you study a star, just like you study the universe. He's Maaseh, an entity of Maaseh Hashem. That's one framework. On another framework, he has a special status of a nifra, of brute, as the Rambam says. So what was the objective of Avraham Avinu? The objective of Avraham Avinu was that all the Bruin upon Achra should have knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do call a Bruin upon Achra. So that was his motivation. Why he says that? I said, what was his motivation? He only had one motivation. He argued with the people of Orkazdan, and he proved that their religion and their philosophy was wrong, and he showed that only lo roel shacharos and lo lavad lo kal olam. Okay. The Bruin means the Bnei Adam. Bnei Adam, in terms of being an Adam, so there a person has a unique status, that he was endowed with the Tzolom Alekin, the Chochmas Hashem. So man, really, when he thinks of himself, he has to think of himself under two frameworks. One is a member of the class of Bruin, which has a unique ability, and which separates them, makes them unique. He has a Tzolom Alekin, separates them from the rest of the creation. But at the same time, it comes under the category, the overall category of Maaseh Hashem. He's Maaseh Hashem, and that is equal to the inanimate creation. So those are the two frameworks with which a human being has to view himself under those two frameworks. Both are reality. So the chenkin pachar Hashem olkin akol masecha is the idea that maaseh Hashem they must call akol masha barasa. So it uses it intersperses. It's parallel language. Because it's the same, so it just intersperses. We have also the Yeda Kol Kol Kiyata Fialto, the Yovin Kol Yotzer Kiyata Yata Yatzata. Kol means a result of Maaseh Hashem, Pula. Yotzer is a separate kind of a Yotzer means a form, means a special form. Yeda Kol Yotzer Kiyata Yatzata, where Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him that form. That form is a Tzal Malachim. So, yeah. So man is both. He has to see himself under both frameworks. So the tefillah, you notice, is a downward progression. But it's a downward progression from pachad, which is the most frightening. Then it goes to emor. Then it goes to yira. Then it goes to Yishtachul of Hanecha, and then it goes on to the Yasuf Kulam of Gudai Chasas of Sachab Leva Shalom. So we said the progression is really downward in terms of the state from Pachad, but it's really upward in terms of the performance of man. And it means that ultimately, when the world will recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there will be a state of Pachad. That's also mentioned in Yishayahu. That the Pachar Hashem is mentioned in the beginning. It was mentioned a few times in the beginning of Yishayahu. The Pachar means a very small. Love of the Nikras Hatsulim, the Ipe Asloim, the name Pachar Hashem, the Mehadar Gaono, the Kuma Laro Torahs. It means loss of level. Vayomahu. Vayomahu is mentioned. Yashlech Adam, it's in Bates, Yishayel Bates. Vayomahu Yashlech Adam, Eisayu Lichasto, Eisayu Lezahavo, Asher Oslo Lichachos, Lachos, Lachos, Peros, Lachalaita. So, Lovo Benitra Sumu, Yusufas Lam, Ne Pachar Ad Hashem, Abedan, Kuma La Rosa. Mentioned it several times. Yom Hashem means Pachar. And that's where the faint came back was really from Israel. And you should have a mission for the Altisulan. Bovatsu the Tomin Bokom, may Pachar Hashem may have died on. So that says, Venizgav Hashem Nevado, by Yamahu.
The Bayomahu will have the quality of Pacharashem. Why Pachad? Because Pachad means that's the natural reaction when a person recognizes the Pachad. A person recognizes the Pachad, so it's filled with Pachad. So that's the first reaction. Pachad Hashem. So that's the same thing, Pachad Pachad Hashem, or the Olkeno Kol Masecha. The Eimos Chol Kol Masha Barasa. Eimos is when a person has the Pachad is under a certain control. By Eimos, like by a Melech. Ema means where the pachad is incorporated in a frame, in a certain frame, which is an operational frame. Ema chanalach. Pachad, the person is lost, can't function. In Ema, the fear is under a certain control and a recognition. Of sovereignty of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Kvod Malchus. That's an Ema. Malchus is Ema. So when you first have the realization, it'll be Pacha, but then it'll be conversion to Ema. And the next step is in Yirah Kol HaMaaseh. The next step is Yirah. Yirah already is a much higher level. Yiras Hashem is a higher level. Yiras Hashem is where the Yira is translated into a Yira. You see, in Ema is Ema Samelach. That's a certain state vis-a-vis a regular Melach. And you should Ema Salah Allah, of course. This is Melech Malchayim Lachem. It's the ultimate Ema that man can experience. But in Ema, the emotion is brought into the realm of a realistic realm, insofar as he perceives the Kod Hashem. That's Ema. In Yira, the individual already. It's not simply how he has to feel vis-a-vis a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's insofar as his own life, the Yira already takes root. Yira implies a certain positive activity from man. So, that's why the Rambam says, Avas Hashem and Yira Hashem, besides one point. But then there's a Yira, there's another kind of a Yira also, where mitzvah dalit, a person has to have Yira Hashem, and it means that he accepts. He can't just be a free philosopher, but he accepts the mandates of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He accepts them, even though he doesn't comprehend them. He accepts them. That's yes. And he has a fear of the onus. Ram says, Mr. Dias has a fear of the onus. He knows that if he fears off, he'll be nash. But Yira, whether it's the Yira of the Rambam, whether it's the Yira of Mr. Dias, it's two different years, But the Yiras Hashem, see, two different mitzvahs. Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem is one mitzvah, but then there's a mitzvah here itself. And a person must always know that if he lives improperly, it's going to result in an onesh. That's a different kind of a Yira. But both kinds are states of mind which move a person in his life in a positive way towards action in his personal life. That's the Yirah Ucha Kol HaMaaseh. So he's moved by an internal idea, moves him in the direction of Torah, insofar as his recognition of Schav Onesh, or and ultimately in the real Yira, which is the highest level, which is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But it means that there he's functioning himself in a positive manner. That's the Yirah Ucha Kol HaMaaseh. It's the real Kol HaMaaseh. In Yishtachu L'Fanecha Kol HaBurim, is where the activity. That's the first time they have activity. So the Python, when the Python convert, it shows what is the action for man. He went from Pachad to Amar to Yira. The next thing he went to was the Shachava, because that signifies the activity of man, the first activity, which is the one activity that demonstrates his commitment to the ideas of Yadis. That's the Shtachava. And the Shtachava is named by Baruch Kaddish. So Shtachavaya is a Maaseh HaAdam, which is Kolel. You wanted to speak about a human action, which would be the most encompassing and the first, that which should be most prior in human activity. That means you converted the proper ideas to observe, converted into action. The proper action, the one action, which is should be the first action and the most encompassing, is your shtachla. Shtachla, Lahard, Shtachla, Sambara, Kurdish. So the shtachavoya is the conversion into action of the ideas, the correct ideas of a Kaddish Baruch. That's a Shtachava. The low world of the Shtachava. That's right. The low world of the Shtachava is that action which manifests activity of man. What is the activity of man, the ultimate activity? The Shtachava. So that's and then he says the Yosu Chulo Maguda Echos. The Shachavoya, of course, is the action which is the embodiment of all the ideas, the proper ideas of Yiro, Avo, Shachavoya. That's the prototype of the action of the man. But after that, the Yosu Chulo Maguda Echos Lasso Shitzon Chabaleva Chola. So that means that after the Ashtachavo, then all the activities of man will be regulated in a way that they'll be in line with God's will in the creation, which means that they'll live the life that they were designed to live in when man was created. But it's interesting, it's very interesting the way you depict it very, very. It doesn't say the Yasu Kulam Agudachas. It doesn't say that. It says the Ye'asu Kulam Agudachas. The Ye'asu Kulam Agudachas. Lasa Fitzanka, the Levav Shalom. What is the difference between the Yasu Kulam Agudachas? Yasu Kulam Agudachas means that they get together and they make up that they're going to do something. That's like if you have a political party. Or even a religious part. That's the answer. They get together and decide they're going to make a party that stands for certain ideas, and the others are going to try to accomplish a certain goal. That's the answer. But no, the Python doesn't say the answer. It says the yasu for one of the rachas, because the answer is not good. The answer means that you have to get together and you have to plan and create a certain social system. You see, a certain system. You have to create a party, have membership, and commitment. Even if it's the best goal, but the idea is lacking, because in Yahadus, there is no party. There's no need to make any party. What has to happen is that every Yachid has to have the proper realization, and then it's natural. They will become automatic, without any effort, without any plan, without any political plan. In other words, once they recognize, individuals who recognize the Kodesh Hashem,
and they go through the stages and the steps, so automatically, the Aguda Achas will emerge automatically. One did any point, only the membership. I have to have a president. Doesn't require any offices. So it was being an automatic. You left the criminal development. That was the time for the revolution. With the recognition. How is a Kaddish Baruch Hu a melech? He's not a melech through force. He's a melech through the fact that his bios live the way they're designed to live, and that's his melech. That's the rest of the criminal development. That's the time for the labor show. The labor show is going to study part. So, and that's the same thing in the Malach. It means the Kodesh, the Korah, will be the motivator, the recognition. How is the Kodesh Baruch Hu Melech? It's a Melech because the people recognize the Kodesh. The Kodesh is, as we mentioned, is to recognize Adon Olam Hashem Melech Hatzayim Kol Yetzir Nivrah. It's Yichud Hashem. And through that, through the recognition of the true idea of God, So that's really what the Python puts forth in the Chaim Chaim Tachta. It's a really beautiful tool. So you see the Ramah of the Chaim Chaim Tachta. It's put together with great fun. Okay. Anything else? That's first then. I mentioned that the Navi always says that there's only one step in Chachmas Hashem below Chalas Kedusha. Everywhere a person taps and he sees the Chachmas Hashem everywhere in the universe, every part of the universe. But the study that brings to a person's mind the Kedusha Hashem to the highest degree is the study of the universe. The study of the universe. That's what the Navi says. Summa v'nechamu v'boi. The study of the universe. And the Chachmas HaKachavim. It is true that in terms of modern science, the Chachma and the Kachavim is really the Chachma of Maisa Bereshis. The Chachma of the Kachavim is the Chachma of Maisa Bereshis. That's why it says, Amacharish v'tzvah l'chonim tam Maisa Bereshis, ko'omu l'otzil olim g'dol. That the Chachma and the stars and the processes of the Mice of the Rachis exist in the stars itself. That's what Gnadi says. That's a puzzle. Chachma la Osirah, not la Osirah on the Bone, but la Osirah on the Bone. So it's Machar Shidu Chonikon Masavreshis. Masavreshis is reflected in the stars. In the stars, and the truth matters in modern cosmology. The knowledge that they have now, that's available now from the Chachma of physics, is from the stars themselves. That's where they trace back from the distance of the stars and from the nuclear reactions in the stars. Those are the elements that really give us insight into my situation. That's what the Navi is saying, and that's true in terms of our day, in terms of science, how it has developed. Underscored what the Navi said. The more science progressed, the more the words of the Navi took on a deeper and deeper meaning. So the study that brings a person face to face, so to speak, with the Kvod Hashem, is really studying it. And now I'm not happy for it yet. My Sayyidah of Magrath. That's what the Navi says. So it's only that study. A person, that study is a person of the Seichel Hayoshen. He studies the Chachma of the universe. That leads him to the recognition of Tokyo. Anything else? Yeah. And the next point is the setting. I did mention that to the meeting. That's the same idea. Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I mentioned the idea that the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim is people misunderstand what it's referring to. And the idea here is the Yichud Hashem, that brings forth the correct idea of Yichud Hashem. Brings forth the very much as well. But they also don't understand on an emotional plane. Because most people think that it's a something which is an old, which is a birth. But it's really just the opposite. It's something which frees an individual more than anything else. So it's a denial of everything else, of every other form of slavery or every other form and system that an individual subordinates himself to. The individual that does not see from officer is the Eved. He subordinates himself to every kind of nonsensical and crazy bonds and things that don't exist. And on the contrary, the word Malchus Shemayim is that which frees an individual. The treason simply puts him in reality where he lives naturally. That is only natural. So that's why it never says, after I saw a channel with Tim, Aino, always the negative. Always negative. You see, you might say we are as an Umar, we are disbelievers, just like we're believers. Disbelief is a very important component. We disbelieve all the other forms of servitude that the human race engages in. And no matter where you go, and no matter what form it might take, it's always a form of servitude. Doesn't matter, person, religious, not religious, whatever system you will assume, will always be a form of servitude. And that's what Yahadah denies. So Yahadus is a form of belief and a form of disbelief. Belief and disbelief. So the second day we took up the different thing altogether. The different was the Chazal on Daf Tezayin on the Beis. Okay. Tezayin on the Beis. Gemara says like this. Gemara says that Gemara says the Amar of Yitzchak. Gemara says Gimel Devar Mitzvah Chesayin of Beis in Rosh Hashanah. Gimel Devar Maskirin Avonos of Shalada. That three things cause the sins of an individual to be remembered before God. And what are they? Those three things, Elohim, Kiyan Nakri, the Ian Fila, and Moser Dinah Chaver. So what are those three things? Yeah, those three things. So Rashis, Kiyan Nakri, over Tachka. So a person walks under a bent wall, means like he goes into a place that might collapse. And then he needs to expose himself to danger. An example, expose himself to danger immediately. He doesn't care. Okay. That's what I said. So where he says that he brings upon himself an investigation, so to speak. The investigation is this person fit for an ace, and because of that, they're looking for. Okay. So that's one. Ian Tula, Rashi says, Samechal Tula, so he relies on his Tula, and for Teyakba, he feels secure, Shatim Shmas, and his Amate Lachavim Riba. He energizes himself to be machaven very strongly in his tefillah. Extra. Not simply kafana in terms of what the feel of love, what the love of kafana is. Beyond that, he's very thin. Chazal is never talking about marah. Okay, marah. So that's the second thing, that if a person does that, he also tells the Bin Shemayim to come into action, come into play. So he tells the Bin Shemayim to come into play. That's the answer. And the third thing is Moser Din Al Chavera. Rashi says, "No, you thought of the Shem being even now." Only, so they say, "Who more than she Onesh Chavera Al Yado?" This person says that somebody else would be fine because of him, and just because he's having a fight with him, so that's why the other person should be Nana. You get glory for that. So I love him. So because of that, so to speak, they look into him. They look into his masa. That's what that's what the Gemara says. That's the Chazal. So, yes. Bin Shemayim. Between him, if he has between him and his father, so he has a dispute. So we what? No, forget about it. The Bezin is just a way to solve the premise of the practical problem. But the dispute, it means each person is a moral, ethical, the ethical element of the dispute. Nothing about the settled the financial, talking about the ethical dispute. Like, this person did this to me, whether they're Russian. Because of that, God will punish. And they see, is that true? Is he really such a person that this other fellow should be managed because of him? I mean, it's true he pulls him out of grief, but why is it so important that this person should be managed? It must be a very great, a great person. That's true. Like by Avram and I, another metal. Okay. What does Pasuk say? It says, Hashem Eishes Eish Binavi. Binavi. Was an ordinary person. An ordinary person would be the same thing. But this the temple with another. That deserves a very big honor. What an ordinary person wouldn't have that. But that's what it's like. But if you disrupt a very important individual in the present time, so then of course you're opening yourself up to a serious honor. Serious honor. So this person is engaged in an avoda Hashem, and you're discussing that, and he's an individual that's on a level that doesn't deserve to, according to Mishpat Hashem, does not deserve to have sorrow and pain. And you're causing him pain. Then you deserve an honor. But an ordinary person, you don't know. Maybe he won't get an honor for that. Maybe he won't be managed for that. Maybe he's not worthy of having somebody else be managed. That's what Mechila is, by the way. When you mocha somebody. When you mocha somebody, you're saying, I don't want another person to be managed on Yodi. He says he's not for love. He says he's not for love. So So if Chazal said a person should have enough, except the time of Chacham is Pagia Torah. But Pagia is not a lot. That's what Chazal said. Those three things. So the question is, what is unique about these three things that result in this serious consequence? Okay. So we said that really, if you look at the three things, you can identify these three things. They're identifiable. What are these three things? These three things are the objective of the religious individual. That's what it is. It's the objective of the religious individual. Because the religious individual's objective is precisely that. That he should be special and that God should listen to his children. That's what he strives for. That he should have a certain sense of security that God listens to his children. That's what he strives for. Also, he looks for a certain protection. The religious person, the motivation in becoming religious is the religious instinct is looking for some kind of protection in life that will spare him from the fate that he notices others are subject to, that befall others. So that's really a primary motivation, in the religious person. And the third thing is the same thing also. The third thing is that a religious person wants to feel good about himself in a relative fashion. He wants to feel good about himself, but good about himself relative to others. That he wants to feel he's in something, some kind of a superiority over other people. He's a righteous individual. He's a tzaddik. He wants to feel, have that security, he feels that he's a tzaddik. He's different. The Chazal really formulated it. In one sweep, the essential elements of what are the religious objective. That's it. It's these three things, because it means vis-a-vis God. That's one aspect, one reflection. Vis-a-vis God. The second is vis-a-vis the external world. Vis-a-vis the external world, that's two. And that's kind of nothing. And the third thing is vis-a-vis his fellow man, see. And that's why, I mean, that's why all these, see, in all the religions, they always have the same code, and that all the things they do are to set themselves apart, give them a feeling of, you see, they wouldn't call it superiority because it's clothed in a religious humility, but behind that is really the manifest content of a superiority. They wear different clothes, the leaders, and that's why they go to different places. Like monks, different manifestly different behavior. Sets them apart, or gives them the feeling that they're set apart in a religious way. That's the objective of the religious drive in that. That comforting feeling is what the person is looking for, but he's different. And he's looking for it for himself, and he's also looking for it for others too, vis-a-vis others. I mean, that's really most of their activities involve that. The symptoms of the body. So that's what basically what Chazal is pointing to, those three things. When you think about it, you realize that's what they're explaining. Those three things are the elements of the religious pull, religious group. So. What Chazal is saying is, the wall is exposing himself to danger, not being concerned. It doesn't mean, by the way, it doesn't mean narcissistic type of thing.